You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Coming at you from the ATL, from inside the paint and beyond the arc, this is nothing but Ness, your Atlanta Hawks podcast. Now, here are your hosts, Deshaun Tate and Caleb Johnson.
Welcome into Nothing But Nest on this Friday, November the 11th, as the Hawks wrap up their homestand and thankfully finish it on a good note. Caleb Johnson in with my co-host Deshaun Tate. Sean, how's it going?
Man, dude, Caleb, listen, we had so many funny moments over the past few days. Like, that's what I'm most excited to talk about today. You already know where I'm going with some of this stuff, but listen. The Atlanta Hawks, in terms of what they did, they dropped one. They won a couple before that that they really needed to win. I feel like they kind of maybe overlooked Utah a little bit, which I kind of had a feeling might be coming. They shouldn't have, but they found a way to sew it all up on the back end before they get ready to go on the road.
I forgot to start this podcast off calling you my guy. I forgot to call you my guy, Deshaun Tate. People may not be aware of what we're referencing. Maybe we'll get into it at some point in the podcast. There was a very interesting scene that happened Thursday evening at the Hawks game with a sideline interaction. But let's start with that Utah Jazz team that you spoke about, Deshaun, and the fact of, you know, you talk about the Hawks maybe overlooking the Jazz. The whole league has overlooked the Jazz, myself included. Because you think when you trade away, you know, franchise pieces like Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, you're not going to be a better team. Like I always tend to, I forget who says it, but there's someone I know in who works in sports media who says, you know, whenever you make a trade, if you get the more talented player, you won the trade. Like if you get the superstar, you won the trade. And that's what you always assume, as the Utah Jazz seemed like they were hitting the reset button. However, maybe Danny Ainge and that Jazz team is, you know, they've put together some really unselfish pieces, I would say, with what, Mike Conley, with Colin Sexton, with Lauri Markkanen, Kelly Olynyk. I'm forgetting somebody I know, but say what?
Clarkson.
That's right. Jordan Clarkson. Yeah, with the he's, you know, he's really growing out the hair now.
Lucky him, Caleb.
Right?
Enjoy it while it lasts.
I'm sorry, Deshaun. You know,
it's okay. Just rubbing it in. That's all. I see what you're doing.
Literally, you know.
Yeah, rubbing anyway. Yeah, I know. I saw. Yeah.
But no. So at one point, it felt like, you know, most of the league was looking at Utah as like this band of misfit toys, you know, that everybody's what pieces they don't want ended up in Utah. However, what's that's led to is a very unselfish team. Deshaun Tate, the Jazz lead the league in points per game and three-pointers per game. That just shows you, I don't know where they are in assist totals. I can't remember. But the ball is moving very freely for them. Nate McMillan talked about the ball moving very freely. I think Clint Capella and AJ Griffin, like all of these guys who spoke before and after seeing Utah, talked about this game, the ball moving so freely for them. Are you surprised at all, like it seems like everybody else is, about this Jazz team?
For sure. There's pieces that surprise me and pieces that don't. The pieces that don't surprise me is the fact of, like, you know how Utah's, you know, franchise is typically run. It's typically run clean, very concise, very sharp. Like, you don't hear about a whole bunch of stuff you're hearing about going on in Brooklyn or Philadelphia right now. Like, it's usually just straight by the book. And they've got hungry players over there. You know, the reasons behind why I am surprised, because you just look, I mean, just like everybody else, it's just, what are the cool kids calling it? Caleb keeping it a buck, keeping it a bean, or whatever, yeah. What have you. Like, the reality is that you take a look at this roster on paper from top to bottom, and you're like, no, like, this just isn't it. But they, I don't feel like they have the guys with the egos either. Like you talked about, you know, a few days ago on our podcast, on episode 3, I believe it was, how they've got guys just ready to kind of, like, you know, like, re-energize themselves, ready to make a whole new path and career out of the, you know, new location that they're at. You know, when you have people like a Lauri Markkanen, who is like career high against the Atlanta Hawks. I'm not really sure how they managed for that to happen, but he's just been looking really good. Like, it's like an all-star dude.
Yeah.
He's starting to look like the top pick that he was, that was coming out of, you know, Arizona. Then you have, you know, guys like Colin Sexton, who people here in this city are very, very familiar with. Loves playing on the defensive end of the basketball, you know, and on the offensive end, just explosive firepower, athleticism. Kelly Olynyk looks nothing like a basketball player, but he finds a way to go out there and just do all the little things, the hustle plays, getting up and down the floor, rim runner. Like, it's and the mastermind behind it all, nobody else, of course, but who? Danny Ainge. I think the head coach in his first year is, like, after taking over, I think, for Quinn Snyder, like, my little nephew is older than him. Like, it all is crazy the way that it's kind of binding itself together, but they are the definition of a team. Do they look like the Lakers, or do they look like the Nets or Philly on paper? No, they don't. But they look like they play cohesively and together in a very small – now, granted, let me just say this real quick, Caleb. I don't anticipate this lasting for an extremely long time. I'm not trying to limit them.
No, that's fair,
but I don't anticipate it lasting for an extremely long time. But in the same token, you got to give them credit for what they've done. Guess what? People said that they were going to be in for the Victor Wembanyama, Victor Slap Your Mama sweepstakes. Like, that's not the case for them. They're like, we're not here to tank. I got a good feeling that's what San Antonio is trying to do too, trying to follow suit with that.
Yeah, so the tough part about, you know, Wednesday night's game is, you're right, Markkanen goes for a career high 32. At one point, Deshaun, Markkanen in the first quarter had 16 points and the Hawks as a team had 15. And I was just like, whoa, you know, this is really kind of getting out of sorts. But the Hawks start that third quarter going on that 15-4 run, get the lead. Seemed like things are heading in the right direction, but the Jazz have a 40-point fourth quarter and then run things out to be able to beat the Hawks. So I felt like following that game, there was this idea. It was very interesting because, you know, you had the quick turnaround seeing Philly the very next night. It wasn't a lot of time to just, like, sit and sulk on it and, you know, be angry. And I slipped up when I asked DeAndre Hunter about the loss, and I said, you know, dealing with this frustrating loss, and he stopped me and he was like, oh, don't look at this loss. It's frustrating. Like, it happens. We gotta flush it and move on to Philly. And he was like, okay. Like, I respect the fact that they can see where they needed to improve. You know, I think they really tried to pack the paint against Utah, and then those kickouts kept coming, and Utah, unlike the Bucks, who weren't knocking those threes down in the second half, Utah did knock those threes down in the second half. And I think that's what led to the big 40-point fourth quarter. But then the Hawks immediately have to get ready for the Sixers. And Deshaun, I'll be honest with you, I don't think the 76ers team is anything like the last couple of years of what we've kind of grown to expect out of them. Maybe some people will use the James Harden isn't playing excuse. However, nothing that I've seen from James Harden at the end of last season and the few games that he played this year gave me just crazy confidence that he's his old self. Hawks win this one 104-95. They have that huge third quarter where they're able to run away with things, but once again they slip and kind of, you know, give it back to the Sixers and then make it a lot closer than it needed to be. What was kind of your big takeaways from Hawks Sixers?
Yeah, you know, kind of going back to the Utah thing, and even this one with, you know, having such a substantial lead against the Sixers and then found a way to kind of let it slip out of their hands, still held on to it in the end, but still didn't finish the game and conclude it as confidently as they thought that they could. You know, somebody asked a question the other night in that post-game press conference, you know, and he just kind of said, you know, Nate McMillan verbatim, you know, we have to learn that, you know, we cannot relax. You don't F with the game, Caleb. You don't F with the game. I thought that was very, I was like, all right, Nate. All right, Mac. I'm going to start calling him Mac. All right, Nate, Mac. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't expect, just talking about the basketball gods, you know, you always find a way to come back and bite you when you kind of let up off the gas. And I think that that's a concerning piece, not just for them right now, but they're getting, you know, they're at a point where they're seeing the exact same team, you know, on the very next game, you know, and then they see the very same team that they saw two games before that, you know, coming up after that game, you know. So just the familiarity that they have with some of these, you know, some of these teams that they have on the schedule, you know, it's not shocking to me to see them doing some of the things, but they're still trying to figure so many things out. They still don't have, you know, and this isn't an excuse. I don't think that I'm not definitely not comparing, you know, James Harden to, you know, a Bogey by any means, but, you know, they want to use the, hey, we didn't have James Harden. Okay, we don't have, you know, Bojan Bogdanovic. You know what I mean? Him, you know, being out and still, you know, missing out on action, stuff like that, whatever, what have you. They still got to just find a way to get on the right page, you know, this Hawks team. Like, you got to finish. You got to put that exclamation point on your games. I don't necessarily feel like we are getting some of that. It was interesting to see with the Philly game that, and we talked about this, Caleb, it's not going to be long. Like, I feel like we're kind of getting closer and closer and closer, ascending towards people talking about this being DeJounte Murray's team, which I think you say that loosely, because I don't think there's a lot of truth to that. Or having the keys to the city. I don't think there's a lot of truth to that. But beginning to outshine Trae Young a little bit, you know, getting out to faster starts than Trae, playing on both sides of the ball, showing that he's unselfish. He went up for a dunk against Philly, or was about to go up for a dunk after he got a steal. We're talking about Debo, yes, Debo Murray. And then just handed it over he's wide open. Could have just dunked it himself. Very, very unselfish, and just kind of gave it up to Onyeka Okongwu for a dunk, which I thought was just, it's something that people are loving. It's not helping that Trae Young isn't playing very well. But he's also a player that says he doesn't pay too much attention to his, you know, his shots and, you know, the misses and things like that. He's going to get out of his slump relatively soon. So I can't wait till that happens, because that is starting to become a problem.
See, it's funny that you say that, Deshaun, about, you know, Trae and DeJounte, and that moment you're talking about in the Philly game where DeJounte gets the steal off Embiid. He comes down the court. He should have a dunk, and he just kind of pulls up and then hands the ball off and lets Onyeka. Like, it was so funny because Onyeka looked like, oh, I have the ball.
Well, I got the ball in my hand.
Yeah.
I thought he was gonna hot potato it out of bounds for a second.
I did too for a minute, and then Onyeka dunks it. I texted you, or no, it wasn't you. It was somebody else. That I was like, was DeJounte stat stuffing? Was he looking for the assist there instead of going for the points? Obviously, just joking. But
I love that play, Caleb. I love what he did, because so often. Like, and I don't know, I just get a little upset when I see it. This is just me totally having a total, you know, Deshaun Tate moment, get off my lawn, grumpy guy moment. But guys are like on a fast break, and you've got someone else way ahead of you or someone else really nearby, and, you know, you see him there, but it's like, no, I'm going to be the guy to go and, you know, take the dunk, fast break and transition, whatever. And it's like, give the ball up to the other guy and let him get some love too. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not saying Onyeka Okongwu is a scrub or anything like that, but most nights he's not going to get the same kind of chances to score the ball that DeJounte Murray is. Plus, it's an assist for crying out loud. Sharing is caring after all, Caleb.
Yeah, well, so, but for you to talk about, like, DeJounte has had a lot of really good games, especially here recently. However, I thought the Philly game was big for Trae Young. Like, he needed, you know, I know the field goal percentage still wasn't there, but he was at least shooting with enough volume that he was getting points. You know, he was finding a way to score the basket. He was getting to the free throw line, and he was dishing. You know, Trae Young was still dishing out assists. Yeah. It was just like that. The Philly game, the 3-point was not falling. The Hawks ended up shooting 23%. Deshaun, the Hawks were shooting 9% from three at the half. Like, it was just an absolutely abysmal game. And I honestly, like...
Wait. You mean, like, 90?
No. 9.
Wait. No. You mean, like 99? Like, 19?
Just the one digit. Just 9.
Just 9.
Okay. 9%. Okay. In the first half. Wow. Not through, like... We're not talking about a couple of minutes of the game. We're not talking about just the first quarter. Because I believe the first quarter it was the same. It was like 11%,
yeah,
something like
which
that.
Which is crazy. But, yeah, which is crazy because Philly was shooting like 14% from three. That was a terrible. They couldn't throw a rock in the ocean from the boat at that point.
Yeah, it got really bad. And right now the Hawks are 27th in the league in three-pointers made this season. I think they're 22 in the league in three-point percentage. But really low numbers for a team that's consistently known to shoot the ball extremely well. And just, you know, a cause for concern. And then, you know, as Trae Young spoke about after the Philly game, that essentially he's going to work through all of this. The sure. One thing that Deshaun, I wanted to get to before we get out of this first segment is this idea of them playing a full 48 minutes, like finishing games really strong, because this is, once again, we saw this against New Orleans. We saw this, who else am I thinking about, that they got out to a lead and then, you know, started to let things get away from them. Maybe New York, I can't remember. But the Sixers were definitely another one where Atlanta had a strong lead and then let the fourth quarter get away. I want to let you hear from Trae Young talk about this because he says it's something that this team's really got to focus on.
Obviously, you wish you could practice that a lot. Like, I wish we're in this situation a lot more, and hopefully we are, and we can practice it. And we just got to be better at just not relaxing at all and not looking at that scoreboard, no matter what the score is, whether we're up or down. We just got to keep playing the same way we do in the first three quarters, especially when we're up like that. So we just got to finish the game and just be better at the end of it.
Yeah, so Trae Young talks about, like, this is something the Hawks have got to get better at, playing with big leads and not letting them get away. It's just it feels like experience and maturity is where that should come from. Do you see it in any other way, Deshaun?
Yes and no. I mean, I know that when you are growing your lead, you want to be able to put the exclamation point in. You want to be able to put down that stamp and make it known, especially in your house where Nate McMillan and some of the guys have made it really known that they want to make sure, not that they're trying to go out there and throw games on the road, but they really want to make it known that when they're playing in SFA, you know, where it's loud and they got the crowd on their side, they got to come through with wins on those games. So while I do think it's obviously important that they do finish those games extremely strong and close them out on the greatest note, I think it's something to say when you're in some pretty tight ones like they have been this year too, and able to come away with some victories as well. I mean, look at how bad it was really getting against, you know, the Knicks at one point in time. I think they went down by like 20 or something crazy like that really early in the game, and they found a way to come back and held on to that lead. Look at the game against Milwaukee, where it feels like it just really wasn't going well in the first quarter, and maybe halfway through the first half or whatever it was, halfway through the, I'm sorry, first half of the second quarter and all of the first quarter for that game. And the next thing you know, they just like jump all over top of Milwaukee. So, you know, the Pelicans was something kind of similar, even though they started giving it away at the end. So there is some inconsistencies there. But I think it's something good to say. It's kind of like whether you look at it glass half full or glass half empty as to whether or not you really consider this a problem. But I think that there's other problems to be concerned with a little bit more. I just also agree with the people that you don't want to play with fire all the time, because eventually that fire is hot and you will get burnt.
Deshaun, on the other side of the break, let's listen to why Nate decided to kind of yell at me last night for something that I asked. And look, he's a nice guy, but we'll let you hear from him on the other side of the break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, Deshaun, I told you, Nate decided Thursday night to be very animated about a particular question that I happened to ask. I was coming to him from a perspective of the Philly game was the first time that he used as many unique rotations as he has all season. It kind of, I had this understanding of like, I knew he needed to rest guys, but I also knew this could be an opportunity to maybe experiment with things. Maybe you want to experiment a little bit, see how different guys play with each other. Maybe there's some success there that you can use for the rest of the season. However, Nate McMillan did not agree with me, and he let me know. Let's hear from Nate.
I'm not experimenting, guys. I'm not experimenting. Wanting to see different rotations. I'm trying to win that game. So I'm not experimenting. I'm not developing, doing all of that. I'm trying to win games. And, we're going to go with a rotation. And if I see an opportunity where we need something tonight, I thought we needed some shooting. So we put AJ in the game. I thought we needed ball pressure tonight, so Aaron played more minutes tonight. So I'm not experimenting with this roster and experimenting with rotations. You do that in preseason. This is regular season. We're trying to win games.
All right, Deshaun, is Nate right? He shouldn't be experimenting. He shouldn't be developing. He should solely be focused on winning that specific game.
Number one, he didn't really, it wasn't really that aggressive though, Caleb. I'll tell you what it was. The body language
it was
appeared to be a little bit more aggressive. Like it's one of those you had to be there type of thing.
It was. Well, it was the look. Like he gave me, I think that's why I said it was like my dad yelling at me, because my dad could often. He could yell at me without yelling at me. My dad could give me a look from across the room, and I was
that
like,
made you feel like you just got your ass whooped about.
I was like, whoop, I am in trouble. So that's what I felt like there from Nate. I know he wasn't really, but he was making a very stern point, not just directly to me, but to Hawks fans in general. Do you agree with him though?
I think part of it is the fact that he's hurt. He's been hearing some of that. It's just that, Caleb Johnson was the most recent person to ask him type of deal.
Yeah.
I agree with him in some ways. I don't think there's nothing wrong with experimenting. When in the game are you experimenting? Where are you in the season when you're experimenting? I'm not mad at him if he wants to experiment early in the season, because that's when you got to figure these things out. There's still so much to figure out. You're still trying to figure out how to play without some guys that you really relied upon during some really critical times of the year before the season started. You're still trying to figure out how things are working without Herter. You're still trying to figure, he was He definitely helped out a lot defensively. You're still trying to figure out. You don't have that instant offense off the bench, high-powered, high-octane of Lou Will, who I think was sitting courtside last night.
He was.
Lil Boosie. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have that per se. So that's instant offense, firepower right off the bench. You don't have the Cam Reddish where, you know, it's questionable what he did or didn't do. Maybe it wasn't the most consistent, but there was just times where defensively especially, you weren't. Now it's about the holidays. Now it's about, you know, bringing in, you know, Debo Murray and, you know, playing some other guys, relying on Jalen Johnson more. So I don't think there's nothing wrong with the experiments. And I mean, I even asked him a question on yesterday too, just talking about, you know, playing some similar, you know, playing some similar opponents in such close proximity of games. He just said, hey, we're treating every game like it's a playoff game. Which I think is really good. You know what I mean? I mean, that's great for this team. I would hope that that's where we are. You know what I mean? Because this isn't the same old young Hawks. This ain't, you know, this ain't 2 years ago. Uh-oh, the young Bulls, the young Atlanta Hawks. Like, now these other teams are looking younger. We say those things about Detroit now. We say those things about Orlando now. Like, maybe Atlanta's not the most experienced team in the league or in the East or whatever, what have you, but the expectations are definitely higher. And over the course of the last X amount of seasons, the expectations, and deservedly so, are some of the highest that they've ever been for this team. And one of the big reasons for that, guys are getting paid a lot of money. Everybody just signed up. Clint recently, you know, Trey recently, John recently, DeAndre recently. I don't know about Bogey or whatever, but, you know, Nate McMillan just put himself in a new position. So the expectations are high, and I'm not mad at him for feeling the way he feels, Caleb, but I think there's a balance, long story longer, between, you know.
There we go. I think that's what I'm looking for, is finding a balance. And I think what I took, that I was frustrated by what Nate said about this whole idea of, you know, I'm not looking to experiment. I'm not looking to develop. Experiment comes off on this. It makes it sound like he's just throwing stuff at the wall and just trying to see what sticks. No. You can experiment in a very, you know, scientists experiment, but they go about it in a very specific, particular way. And that's what I would expect him to do. Like bringing along, obviously the fan base was very frustrated about Sharif Cooper and Jalen Johnson when they were rookies. The Hawks really didn't need them very much last season. I think this Hawks team does need AJ Griffin, and especially if he's going to perform like we've seen him play recently. So when, you know, Nate says, I'm not experimenting or developing, I'm trying to win games, I think, do you want to win games just now, or do you want to also win games 50 games from now? You know, because I think that's when you'll also want to see a progression out of a guy like AJ Griffin. You're also going to want to see a progression continued of guys like Jalen Johnson. And guys get hurt, guys get injured. And I was going to
say the same thing.
Yeah, I think, you know, what do you, and Nate should know this more than any coach, of all the injuries, all the COVID stuff that they dealt with a season ago, and the fact that it was, you know, just so easily dismissed is a bit worrisome. I still think Nate's an incredibly talented coach, and I have no concerns, big concerns with him. This was just what I thought was not one of his finer moments, as, you know, think long term. But it definitely, Deshaun, it definitely felt like he was shutting down questions from the fan base of like, we need to see a lot of different. And he's like, no, I want to get these guys comfortable with themselves. And that's how we win games the best. The Hawks now, Deshaun, head playing Philly at home, go to Philly. Are you a fan of these whole matchups that the NBA is doing where teams play each other back-to-back games during the regular season?
Not as much. I'm sure that the players hate it a lot worse. You know, I hate it a lot more than I do. But not only that, but sometimes you're getting back-to-backs, and then you're getting back-to-backs against the same team. in the same city or back-to-backs against the same team in a different city. I think they did that with the Pistons one time, you know, earlier in the season. And now it's with Philly, and then, you know, now it's in Milwaukee again. Like, one thing I can say about them, and I can't say this for every single team, but, like, Atlanta's had a pretty difficult schedule up to this point. And that's something else that we really have to look at. Like, they're not playing – every game's not Detroit and Orlando and, you know, some of you know, those type of teams. We thought we would have been probably calling Portland, San Antonio, and Utah in that conversation, but we're not, which makes it even worse because you expected, you know what I mean, that you know, you didn't have expectation that they were going to be as good as they are. All of those things being said, you know, I'm looking at it like in terms of the scheduling. I think Boston's going to be coming up at home on Wednesday night or something along those lines. I mean, I really want to see what this team looks like when, you know, one of the interesting things was when Trey was out and DeJounte was sitting on the bench, what did this team look like? I mean, I've been really impressed by some of the things you're getting on both sides of the ball by somebody like a Aaron Holiday, where, you know, he's always on the ball defender. And just looks like he does a pretty decent job at running the offense and not looking scared out there a lot of times. Obviously, Griffin is playing really well. Love what he's bringing to this team because he's just a super silent killer. Like, you just don't look for him even on the floor. By the time you look up and say, we need to guard this guy, he's got almost 20, which we saw the other night. So I think that they're going to continue to take advantage. I have a question for you, though, Caleb, just really quickly. What is the mindset right now of John Collins? I feel like that's something I just don't really know. I'm not able to get a good feel or good grasp for or what needs to be his mentality right now, obviously, outside of getting rid of the little ass shorts.
I'll give you an abbreviated version, and then I think this is something that we could talk about later, just for the fact of I don't think he's playing particularly poorly right now, but he's definitely not playing particularly well either. Now John is doing stuff that's not showing up on the stat sheet. That is one thing that I do want to be very clear about. You know, I think even more this season, John's setting more screens than even Clint is. And he's just like, he's getting down in the paint. He's maybe not always stopping guys. Guys are still scoring on him, and that's a bit of a problem. I still think he's rebounding at a good rate, but he's not scoring as much as we had kind of, you know, thought, especially starting off at the beginning of the season. He's still not shooting that three particularly well. So there's like a lot of different elements with him where I don't know where I stand with him just yet. But
the verdict is still out.
Yeah, I definitely think so. When it comes to the schedule, though, I do want to get this in before we get out of here, that this whole idea of playing teams back-to-back, the NBA wants to do this because it gives the players less travel, so their bodies are more rested when they play in the same city. Now, when you have this scenario like the Hawks playing this one at home and then going and playing in Philly, I actually like that better because for fans, if you're playing the same team back-to-back nights or back-to-back games at least, there's just no incentive for the fan to show up to both of those because, like, we've already seen this kind of deal. And then scheduling Milwaukee just so close together after they've already seen them, that's another one where it's like, man, you know, it feels like the Hawks have played the Bucks like six times, including preseason, to start this season. It's just, I don't know. It's interesting. I'm with you on the scheduling. Didn't look as difficult to start the season as now that you're, you know, 11 games in or whatever, and teams are a lot better in different areas than you may have thought. But there's just, I don't know, it's interesting. The Hawks are gonna have a really interesting time this weekend as they go and play the Sixers on Saturday, and then, like we said, head to the Bucks on Monday. Deshaun and I will be with you next Tuesday as we'll get another podcast out of Nothing But Ness. And with that being said, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.